We're going to be looking at what we read there in verse 12, which says, "Honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." This is the fifth of the Ten Commandments. And you'll notice there that God gives us an extra incentive to obey this commandment. It doesn't just say, this is what you do, but he says, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. That's actually a promise to the whole of society. It's not so much a promise to each one individually, but to society. And what God is saying there is that where children grow up honouring their parents, there a society will be strong and will flourish. But where, as we see increasingly today, children are not brought up to honour their parents, their society will fall apart. There are good reasons for that, as we'll see in a minute. First of all, I want us to think about this command itself, what it's really all about. Now, I said last week that some of the commandments seem a bit odd. The one we were looking at last week seems a bit odd. That was the fourth commandment, which says in verse 8, sorry about this, yes, there we are, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." That's one of the Ten Commandments. But who bothers to keep the Sabbath day as a special day for God today? Now, most people cannot understand why it's important to keep one day in seven holy to God. And that's because they only think of the commandments in terms of people. And they say, look, you know, no one's going to get hurt if I don't keep the Sabbath day. So they don't think it's important to keep the Sabbath day. And if you look at the other commandments, you know, you can understand that we shouldn't kill people because killing hurts people. And we shouldn't steal because stealing hurts people. And we shouldn't lie because lying hurts people. And we shouldn't commit adultery because committing adultery inflicts about the worst pain possible you can inflict upon another person. But you see, they can't understand why you should keep the Sabbath day, because they say, you know, I mean, who gets hurt if I don't keep the Sabbath day? Well, they do actually hurt themselves if you don't take one day in seven to rest. But that's not the main purpose of the Sabbath day. The main purpose of the Sabbath day is not about people. It is about God. There is more to life than people. And the Sabbath day is about reaffirming who God is and his ownership of us by keeping that day holy to him. And no, maybe other people don't get hurt if you don't keep the Sabbath day, but as I say, there's more to your life than other people. And the biggest part of your life should be God. And likewise, the commandment we're looking at today, the fifth commandment, honour your father and your mother, that's also fallen on hard times, because fewer and fewer people honour their parents today. And in fact, increasingly, we live in a society of broken relationships, and especially broken relationships between children and parents. There's a couple of reasons for this. First reason, fathers and mothers aren't perfect. Parents aren't perfect. Some are far from perfect. As children, when we're little, we believe at first that our parents know everything and that they always get everything right. And if anyone is wrong, it's always, we think, children, parents always get it right. And then we start to grow up and we begin to suspect, I'm not sure that that is so. You know, maybe at first we don't want to believe it because we don't want our whole world to come crashing down. Our world is constructed around this idea that parents are right and children are wrong. But one day it dawns upon us, yep, there's no doubt about it, Mum and Dad were wrong there. I was right, they were wrong. And then as children we can start to feel betrayed. We can feel, hey, all this time my parents have been telling me that they're always right, and if I disagreed I was always wrong. But it isn't true. Sometimes they're wrong. I'm not saying that your parents actually told you that, but sometimes children get the impression that that is what they're being taught. And then when they find out their parents do sometimes make mistakes, they feel betrayed. As a result, they ask themselves, well, why should I honour my parents? Why should I obey them if they don't always get it right? And you know what? Some children never get over that. And they never honour their parents ever again. But there's another reason too why this commandment to honour your father and your mother has fallen on hard times, and this is even worse. And that is that we all have a natural tendency, or I should say sinful tendency, because this only happened after Adam and Eve sinned against God. We all have a sinful tendency to rebel against anyone in authority over us. We resent having to submit to authority, especially where that authority is less than perfect. As I say, that's the result of sin. So this commandment helps us to see that we are sinners, because God commands us to do something, honour your father and your mother, which some of the time we don't do very well. When we are children, God tells us to honour our parents. In fact, more than that, when we're still children, he tells us to obey our parents, and that's those parents that don't always get it right. But he tells us to obey our parents, and we are to obey them, even if they tell us to do what we don't want to do. We should never disobey our parents while we are children unless they tell us to do something which is very clearly forbidden by the Word of God. We see our sin in that there are times as children when we resent obeying this particular command of God. And then later on we go to school, and at school we are to respect the authority of our teachers, but children who haven't learned to respect their parents aren't going to respect their teachers, and instead they'll happily join in with other children making fun of their teachers and being rude about them behind their backs. So you can see how important this command is, because if you don't learn to honour your parents as little children, then you won't honour anyone in authority over you from then on. Later on you'll get a job, but you won't respect your boss. In fact, everything that goes wrong for you at work, everything you find difficult to cope with, you blame the boss. And you'll feel the same way about authorities like magistrates and police. And yes, I know that sometimes, though probably not very often, magistrates and police do get it wrong. But again, even though they are not perfect, we are to submit to their authority. God commands us to honour and to submit to their authority. In this word, this Bible, God commands us to honour and submit to the authority of police and magistrates. And we are to submit to their authority. Again, as long as they don't command us to do something which is very clearly contrary to the Word of God. And even in marriage, a wife is to submit to the authority of her husband. A husband is to submit to loving his wife even as Christ loved the church. That's the standard. And both those require submission. But both those will not be done very well if we've never learned to submit to authority, the authority of our parents while we were children, and honour our father and our mother. You see how important this command is? Honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The society in which we live only holds together as the relationships that make up that society hold together. But all those relationships, children with parents, employees with employers, citizens with those that govern them, even wives and husbands, none of those relationships are going to work very well if we haven't learned to submit to authority as God has commanded. And where those relationships fall apart, society falls apart. Now please think about this. Think about how sin has a hold on you. Children, it's good to see lots of children here tonight. Children, do you honour your father and your mother? Employees, do you give your employers the respect that God commands? Or do you blame your employer every time something goes wrong? And citizens, do you respect those that rule over you? And wives, do you submit to your husbands? And husbands, do you submit to loving your wife even as Christ loved the church? Do you? To the extent that we do not do that, we are sinning. And yes, it is sin. We can't excuse it. It is sin. Ultimately, it is sin against God, and it goes right back to sin against this commandment about honouring your father and your mother, honouring those who are in authority over you. But worse, if you don't learn to submit to the authority that God sets over you, whether it be parents or teachers or employers or policemen, if you don't learn to submit to these authorities, then you will find it really, really difficult to submit to the ultimate authority, and that is to God's authority. You'll find it really hard to submit to God. And this is true. If you rebel against the authority of parents, you will ultimately rebel against the authority of God. And if you rebel against the authority of those that rule over you, you will ultimately rebel against the authority of God. But if you learn to submit to lawful, legitimate authority, you will find it far easier to submit to God. This is true. You think about it. When a little child is born into this world, he knows nothing about God. And there's no point telling a little child, who can barely understand what you're saying anyway, there's no point telling that little child about submitting to God. At that stage, he doesn't understand. How can he understand about submitting to a God that he can't see? So this is what God does. He puts that little child with parents that he can see. And that is how that little child learns to submit to legitimate authority over him, and that is by learning to submit to his parents. Let me go to another passage in the Bible. This is in Hebrews chapter 12. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12. I want to draw your attention to verse 9. In verse 9, the writer says there, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect." And then he says, "Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits," that is God, "and live?" See what that's saying there? Saying God has a plan, and in that plan he puts us with earthly, visible, flesh and blood parents so that we can learn to respect authority. And then as we learn to respect visible authority that's been put there by God, so we learn to respect invisible heavenly authority. "We have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" But you see also what that means. We saw before that ever since Adam and Eve sinned, we don't like submitting to authority, especially where that authority is less than perfect, as all earthly authorities are. I mean, parents aren't perfect, and bosses at work aren't perfect, and the police aren't perfect. And we think that gives us an excuse not to obey them. But it doesn't. It doesn't give you and me an excuse not to obey them, because it is God that has set these very imperfect authorities over us. And God has said, I want you to obey these very imperfect authorities. It's a lesson in submission. It's a lesson in humility. And in the end, it is only pride, wicked, sinful pride, that tells us not to obey them. It's simply a reminder of how much we sin, that we don't want to obey even imperfect authority that's set over us. And then it is the same wicked, sinful pride that makes us not want to submit to God or to the Lord Jesus Christ. We find it harder to submit to Christ because we have this whole lifetime of sinful rebelling against legitimate authority in our hearts. But you might say, I had a horrible father. I had an awful mother. How could I possibly honour and obey them? It's unfair of you to think that I should have honoured and obeyed them. And yes, you might be right. Some children do have horrible parents. Please be aware, in many cases, it's just an excuse. In many cases, there are children who say they have horrible parents simply as an excuse for not obeying them. Do try and be fair in assessing what your parents were like. But what if you really did have a horrible father? How can you honour him then? And does that leave you with an excuse for not submitting to your heavenly father? How can you honour a horrible father? All I can say is I'd probably deal with that on a case-by-case basis, but let me just generalise. All I can say is, well, you honour him as best you can. Honour him in any way that you can. I mean, God did put him there as an authority over you, and in most cases, you were still better off with a far less than perfect father than no father at all. I don't pretend to have all the answers there. I'd have to look at that on a case-by-case basis, but just to remind you that you are responsible to honour even a badly flawed parent as best you can. You certainly don't have any excuse unnecessarily to ridicule him or to have a vengeful spirit towards him. But does that leave you with an excuse for not submitting to your heavenly father? No, not at all. I mean, let's look again at this verse in Hebrews chapter 12, where the writer says, furthermore, we had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? And then he goes on and says in verse 10, he says, for they indeed for a few days chastened us or disciplined us as seemed best to them. I mean, however flawed your earthly father was, he did what he thought was best. Maybe that was good, maybe it wasn't so good. But then it goes on and says, but he, that is God, the Heavenly Father, for our profit. They indeed for a few days disciplined us and seemed best to them, but God, our Heavenly Father, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. However flawed your earthly father was, your heavenly father is perfect. He does completely what is best for you. So if you learn to submit to an earthly father who sometimes made mistakes, good for you, you did what God wanted you to do. But if you did that with a flawed earthly father, how much easier you will now find it to submit to a perfect heavenly father. And how do you do that? What does submission to a heavenly father mean? How can you submit to a perfect heavenly father? Listen to these words of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way to come to the Heavenly Father, and that is through Jesus. You need Jesus. God has tried to explain to you who he is. He is our Heavenly Father. He's tried to show you what that means by giving you an earthly father. But as we have seen, earthly fathers are flawed. Even the best earthly father is still only a pale reflection of what God is like as a heavenly father. And because we are sinful and far more ready to see the faults in our earthly fathers than we ought to be, we find it hard to understand what God is like as a heavenly father. But then along comes Jesus. And he is the perfect Son of God. He is the perfect Son of a perfect Heavenly Father. The Bible puts it this way, it says, no one has seen God at any time. He is invisible. But, it goes on, the only begotten Son, that is Jesus, who is in the bosom of the Father, who is intimately bound up with the Father, he has shown us what he is like. You need Jesus to show you what God is like as a heavenly Father. And yes, you have an earthly father. You can learn a bit about what God is like as a heavenly Father from that. But only Jesus knows fully what God is like as a heavenly Father. And only Jesus can show you that fully. So ask. Ask Jesus to show you what God, your Heavenly Father, is really like. The other reason you need Jesus is that no matter how much Jesus shows you what your Heavenly Father is really like, your sin is always going to get in the way. You, like me, like everyone else, have a problem with authority. When asked to submit to authority, any authority, even God, your sin gets in the way. You distort what that authority is really like. You give yourself an excuse not to listen to that authority. And you need Jesus to forgive you for that sin. You and I need Jesus to forgive us for our sins against our parents, that we did not honour or submit to the way God commanded us. We need Jesus to forgive us for our sins against God, that we have not submitted to and honoured the way God commanded us. We have sinned. We need Jesus to forgive us for our sins against God. We need the power of Jesus to help us to overcome our sins so that we can submit to God and trust him. The fifth commandment, honour your father and your mother. There's an awful lot in that command. There's a lot that teaches us about who God as our Heavenly Father is, and there's a lot there that teaches us how much we can't do without Jesus. We need Jesus. You need Jesus. Amen.